Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Presented by Chafe and Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. One of the best things that's happened to the Steelers this offseason occurred a few hours ago, when the ink dried on El Villanueva's Ravens contract. 2 years, $14 million, presumably to play right tackle, a new position at 32 years old because of the Orlando Brown trade. So he's going to flip sides. And a guy that was a poor run blocker for the Steelers is now going to start and play meaningful snaps and get paid a lot of money by a team that wants to run the ball first, second, and third. Cool. Me likey.
It would be what, addition by subtraction, and then addition somewhere else in the division on the team for the Steelers? I don't understand this move unless, I don't know, the Ravens have some sort of magic plan. I think I saw Jameson Hensley say that he actually ranked pretty well in run block win rate last year.
How about Chris Muller eyeball rate? How did he do there watching him?
Listen, there are going to be people out there who say I'm a raging hypocrite, because I like to cite PFF and things like advanced stats when they suit me and not when they don't. When I saw Al Villanueva trying to run block last year, it did not look pretty. Chris Muller eyeball test, he did not pass.
How about Arthur Moats, all 22 on Villanueva's
run
blocker?
No, I agree, man. He definitely struggled in that area. That's not something that's new. We definitely saw that, but that's what makes this move so intriguing. Not only is it him potentially having to switch positions from left tackle to right tackle, but now you're going to be asking him to do something predominantly that he's been struggling with. We know what Baltimore wants to do. They want to be a run first unit. They want to be a physical unit up front. And that's not Al's game right now. I mean, it's just, that's not who he is. So regardless of what PFF wants to rank and come up with, we know at the end of the day, this is something that he struggles with. This is nothing new. And I'm sure Baltimore knows that as well, but I think Baltimore is more so in a bind because they didn't utilize that draft pick that they got from the Orlando Brown trade to properly replace him. But I think that they're
Man,
also
imagine
looking
if they
at
had taken Tevin Jenkins. That would have fit like
exactly.
a glove for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So to see them pass on a guy like that and make the moves that they did, obviously they went with the wide receiver, which was still a need for them. This is kind of where you fall. And then on top of that, they still don't know if Ronnie Stanley is going to be available week one. So this kind of gives them that
insurance.
Well, I think
that's why Al's there. Yeah, absolutely. I think Al is more there for Ronnie Stanley insurance. I think that's what it is. I know they're paying him a decent little guarantee.
That's $7 million.
No, I know.
Insurance.
Yeah, I know.
That's very
I was just saying it's expensive insurance, but I think that's more likely what they see him as. Mm-hmm. You can't possibly be a smart
Brown,
NFL team and think like, okay, here's this guy who's never played right tackle and he wasn't an offensive lineman for the majority of his life, but don't worry, we can really here in Baltimore turn him into something that he's never been, a right tackle who can run block.
So Mike Clay from ESPN put this out there earlier today. As rosters stand, this is a question he's asking. Do the Steelers have the NFL's shakiest offensive line? Chooks at left tackle, Dotson at left guard. He has Kendrick Green at center, DeCastro at right guard, Zach Banner at right tackle. And then he said only two offensive linemen on the roster played 340-plus snaps last season. Arthur, do you agree or disagree with that?
This is the thing. You can make the case for it because they're very inexperienced up front. But the rebuttal to that is this is also a group that has the potential, if we're talking about being a run-first unit, they got the potential to be a good run-blocking unit. When you talk about a guy like Kevin Dotson, he for certain could run block. Kendrick Green, even though he's going to be switching from guard to center.
Is that a big deal?
You cut the tape on. More so the formality element of it, of balance, stance, and the snapping element, right? But since he's already done it enough, I mean, I think it was 4 or 5 collegiate games of doing it, you already have the groundwork. Now it's going to be more so just building that into his regular muscle memory, whereas right now, guard has been in his brain for how long? So that part might take a little time, but even with him, he's built for what? He can run block. He can move people. We know
you're making it seem, Arthur, like run blocking is pretty simple. Like, I'm asking this seriously. Is it a lot more simple, in your opinion, as a defensive player than pass blocking? Like, to be able to run block and hit the ground running there?
Run blocking is mentality, and you have to be physical. You have to want to be physical, and you have to have the girth to back it up. Yep. Kevin Dotson has that. DeCastro, we loved him for a long time because he has that. Banners on his size alone, he should be able to do that consistently. Now, the reason why it's a lot easier to run block versus pass blocking, well, pass blocking, it's a lot more technique. If your footwork is bad, if your hand placement is bad, if you're slow out of your stance, all of that can be very damning because of what? You miss that play, that's a sack on your $100 million paid quarterback. Whereas you miss a block, you're tackling the running back, it's not as egregious. So that to me is the biggest reason why, in terms of run blocking, is a lot easier and it's less stressful, less pressure compared to being a full-time pass blocker. But if we're focused on being a run-first unit, this O-line could be good. If you're going to go out here and try to have them pass blocking 40, 50, 60 snaps a game, I don't like that. I'm not going to lie. They might surprise me, but I don't like this unit as a pass
blocking
first unit.
You think they like doing that? You think DeCastro likes having to sit there and pass protection?
Trust me, I don't think they do. I really don't, and I'm hoping that since Najee was a first-round pick, that is going to influence Ben to say, okay, it's actually could be a good play to give this guy the ball. All right, me throwing this ball is going to be, you know, not as good as me handing it to Najee right here on this dive, on this power play. Whereas before, when he's looking back there and it's Benny Snell or Anthony McFarlane or Jalen Samuels, or maybe he's healthy, maybe he's not, James Conner. Well, Ben is probably saying to himself, well, I can throw the ball and get a better chance than these guys. So I think that could potentially lead to seeing a little bit more running, which I'm hoping for.
That could be an overcorrection, though. So, yeah, you want to get better at running the ball. There's nowhere to go but up. You have to. Their actions this offseason back that up entirely, what you're saying, with the type of offensive lineman they've brought in, Arthur. They fire the offensive line coach. They fire the offensive coordinator.
No. We don't fire coaches.
The contract's expired there.
Thank you.
The contract.
It's all about the fine print.
Let me get the voice. Their contract's expired. You say it very delicately. Their contract's expired.
Arthur, can I? Before we go any further on this, can I need to.
They are no longer under service with this contract.
Pony, what was the name of the late announcer at Yankee Stadium? Number 2. Derek
Shepard.
Jeter. Yeah. You sound like him a little bit doing that. Arthur, let me ask you a serious question, though, about the whole contracts expired. One of the things I brought up yesterday on the show that was very frustrating to me about when I was trying to, like, figure out how much can Adrian Clem really do with these guys, if he was such a good coach, wouldn't a team like the Steelers, if they weren't going to maybe let go of a Sean Surrett who was in over his head, wouldn't they have quietly and maybe not even publicly given Adrian Clem the reins and said, you're running this now, we're not going to fire Surrett, but we're going to basically demote him midseason. We want you to start being the one coaching these guys up? Like, that's why it's hard for me to get excited about him working with these guys, because he didn't elevate.
See, I think it would be different if he had already been in the organization for multiple years. That last year was, what, his second year in the organization? Whereas Surrett's been in this organization for, what, 10, I think it is now? Or at least getting close to that. So I just didn't think that they would do anything like that to Surrett, first off, because of how long he had been there, but more so because Adrian was still new. He was still learning this thing. But I see the belief that they have in Clem, because they could have easily outsourced and brought in any other offensive line coach, and we would have all been like, well, that makes sense. I mean, you got this young coach, Adrian Clem, shaky pass, no one really knows anything, cool. But to see them actually say that, no, we're going to promote this guy from within instead of going out, which they had already done. We've already seen them outsource. That, to me, speaks volumes about their confidence in Adrian. Now, we don't know if they're right or wrong for that. Some people say that he was very, very pivotal in Kevin Dotson's performance and his development. So that could be the reason why they look at him like that. Ultimately, time is going to tell, but that's the only reason why I think that they could still be believing in him, even though they didn't make this move during the season last year.
They definitely have a line that's built more to run block than pass block. You, Arthur, said you have concerns about their pass blocking. Here's what I wonder. You brought up the number of times they threw the ball. Like, this line can't pass protect if they're going to throw it 40 times. I think of it more like this. If the ball's out in 2 seconds or 3 seconds again, they might be able to. But part of the revamping of the Steelers' offense, I think, needs to be when you elect to throw it, you've got to push the ball down the field more.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean that Ben has to go back to his old tricks of running around and buying time and, you know, throwing linebackers to the turf. But you've got to give him enough time to sit in the pocket and throw the ball downfield. That's what I worry about. That's where I wonder, okay, now you're asking your left tackle, instead of blocking for 3 seconds, now he's got to hold his block for a couple extra seconds. Is Chukwuma Okorafor good enough to do that? I don't think so.
The thing is, we've never seen him do it at left tackle.
I know.
So even if we want to speak positively about last year's performance for him, that was still at right tackle. Left tackle, you're facing a whole nother type of animal over there.
Well, I don't think that people are speaking positively about the job he did last year, because I think everyone pretty much gets lumped in for the failures of the offensive line last year, except Dotson. I think all the other incumbents get labeled with blame for how the offensive line performed.
It's funny how that works, right?
But what do you mean?
I mean, I would give DeCastro more of a pass because I think he was hurt more than he was letting on.
Right.
I
was going to say his play wasn't good, but there's an excuse that gets made for it.
To the point about Chukes, by the way, he's only playing left tackle because they feel he's more of a gifted athlete than Zach Banner. It's not because they think he's like well suited overall for the position. It's that they feel he can deal with maybe more athletic pass rushers. But I feel like we should stress this. He is a failure at right tackle to have won a position battle, right, with Banner, who is going to play left tackle, and they are clearly hoping. And by the way, I hear nothing about him having like a mean streak, and all I hear about Clem is that he loves guys that play mean. They're hoping that because most teams run right-handed, that putting the mean road grader Banner over there and putting the better athlete but the more finesse player at left tackle is just going to work out perfectly for them.
Cale Berger is producing today's show. One of the things he told me before the year was he believes he would have done a better job in this draft than Kevin Colbert. And he backed it up by putting us through his three picks. If he were on the clock at 24, 55, and 87, instead of taking Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, and Kendrick Green, what would you have done, Kale?
We would have gone Tevin Jenkins, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Sermon.
Arthur?
I mean, I don't hate it, but for me, I don't think any of those players in there are going to have the impact of Pat or the impact of Najee in year one and two. That's my only thing. I think that you got better value with the old lineman, though.
Value.
I think absolutely. Like, I think that's the part that gets lost in this conversation when we talk about Najee versus if you go O-line at 24. The guys that were on the board at 24, you talk about Tevin Jenkins. I think there is more value in that pick because of the longevity, but Tevin isn't a better player than Najee. And if we're talking about impact these next couple of years, Najee's going to have the bigger impact barring injury. Whereas Tevin, it would last longer, but I don't think it would reach the same heights that Najee could potentially reach. So that to me is the big just conundrum where I'm trying to figure out, like, well, which one do I side with more? Because one gives me longevity, but one is going to give me legit playmaking ability. I'm going to feel and see that impact right away.
Well, he needs a better offensive line in front of him too, Harris, than the one that was here last year in order to get to where you're talking about.
Right, but remember what I said, though, in terms of how this O-line is currently built?
No, I hear you.
It's built to run block. He's going to have some opportunities. That's all I'm saying.
Chris, I've got three. Do you have Pro Football Focus on your browser, or is it Naughty America right now? Which one do you have?
Wow. Wow.
Which one?
Brazzers.
which one?
No, I have PFF up.
Okay.
I have PFF up.
I've got and we know.
Which PFF? You talking about Pro Football?
And we will. Hold on here.
Wow.
Hold on, Arthur. Let's make sure we put the disclaimer on it. We are starting. I'm starting this adventure by saying Arthur Motes thinks that Pro Football Focus is bunk. But let's humor us anyways. So I've got.
Give me what you want.
I've got three offensive linemen who were picked in the third round last year, who started all 16 games.
Okay.
So Green was a third round pick. There were three guys. They're all interior linemen too that started all year for their teams. Damian Lewis, Jonah Jackson, Lloyd Cushenberry.
Okay.
What were their grades?
Damian Lewis offensive Seattle. Grade. Yeah, I know. Guard from Seattle. 70.2 overall.
Is that good?
Hideous pass blocking grade in the 40s.
Russell Wilson will attest to that.
Yeah, Russ.
Somehow, Russell Wilson might also have been holding the ball for 16 seconds every play. 70.2 is good, though. It's better. It's you're getting into
I want to see how these
territory.
Rookies did as third round picks.
You're talking Jonah Jackson?
Yep.
Oh, hold on. Now I got to control F this guy because...
No, you got to close the other tab.
No, stop it. See, stop it. That's not nice.
Lions, I'll help you.
I'm trying to search his name because... Okay. 57 grade, not very good.
You
last
guard.
Name?
Lloyd Cushenberry, the Broncos center. Third round pick last year. LSU.
Oh, I know. I'm looking
Burrow
for
center.
Cush... I'm looking for Cush, and I'm not even seeing his name show up.
Are you,
are you sure
it right?
He played? No, I've got everything. LLOYD.
Yeah, 16 starts for the Broncos. Number 79.
So he either, well, he's not even showing up on here, my friend. We've got a David Quessenberry.
No. Well, then that goes to show you Pro Football Focus doesn't know what it's doing.
Ooh.
We'll have two Pro Football Focus guests on this week on Pony and Muller. By the way, how about the morning show put Sam Monson on? All they do is bury the Steelers for the Harris pick, say Pro Football Focus is, brain dead, and then they were nice to the guy today. Interesting.
Well, see, I like to think that when we're mean, we're just mean all the time on this show, yes?
Consistently mean?
Yeah, I would like to think that, yes.
All right, Texas on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text on Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Our Pony and Muller NFL draft expert Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports on the Steelers draft hall next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!